Hi, this is a live recording of interacting with the VoiceBot Chronicles on Alexa. Alexa, open the VoiceBot Chronicles.
This is KQED. Welcome back to the VoiceBot Chronicles. Since this isn't your first time listening, remember that you can always skip around by saying, Alexa, skip ahead. You can also ask for help by saying, Alexa, help.
To pick up from where you left off, say left off. To start from the very beginning, say start.
Start.
Hello, I'm Chloe Veltzman, a reporter here at KQED. And while I still don't get to go out on reporting assignments in a flying car, yet, I do get to chat with you through a voice bot.
Thanks, Chloe. I'm really excited to be here. But what about our listener? Are you ready to start?
Yes.
Great. Chloe, why don't you tell us what this is all about?
This is the VoiceBot Chronicles, an interactive series from KQED, telling stories about and in collaboration with the machines we find ourselves talking to these days. Now here's the fun part. It's not like a regular KQED story where you just listen. As we go along, you'll get opportunities to interact with us through your device, like exploring what happens when a conversation breaks down.
Wait a sec. What the what?
As I was saying, this is totally experimental, and because of that, things may not always go as planned.
Well, Chloe, I'm all in on this experiment. And if our listeners ever need help, all they need to do is say, Alexa, help.
How about we start with a proper introduction?
That's a great idea. I'd love to know who you are. Can you tell me your first name?
Lowell.
Nice to meet you, Lowell. Did I say your name correctly?
Yes.
So tell me this. Do most people understand you when you say your name is Lowell?
Yes.
That must feel good, to be understood. Let's try an experiment. Try asking me how I'm feeling.
How are you feeling?
I'm doing really well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Quick question. Which voice are you using with me right now? Your normal voice? Or, are you using your I'm talking to a computer voice?
My computer voice.
I'm glad we are speaking the same language. Do you feel like it's easy for people to understand you when you first meet them?
Yes.
I wonder what voice we used to be understood. Let's talk about it later. Chloe, back to you.
We all feel the need to be understood. I'll freely admit to sometimes losing it on my boyfriend when I don't feel I'm being heard. And because of my accent, I come from Kent in southeast England. I still sometimes have trouble when I'm trying to get a glass of water. Sorry, water, at a cafe or restaurant. It tests my patience because I've been living in the US for a long time. Many of us, especially native English speakers, take communication for granted. We expect others to understand us seamlessly, including machines. So how does it feel when we don't feel like we're getting our point across or talking at cross purposes, kind of like in that classic Abbott and Costello skit?
Who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the guy's name.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I don't know.
People love this comedy act, not just because it's funny, but because the frustration feels so familiar. So if someone like me, who's been speaking English since I was a toddler, gets frustrated about being misunderstood, imagine what it's like if English isn't your first language, or if you have a degenerative condition that affects speech, say ALS, or if you completely lost your hearing in early childhood, like Dmitry Kanievsky.
I'm Dmitry Kanievsky. I'm a research scientist at Google.
Dmitry grew up in Russia. He's a research scientist at Google. We get together at Google HQ in Mountain View, where Dmitry demos a new app he helped to develop. It's called Euphonia, and it's changing the lives of a small but growing number of people dealing with speech issues, including Dmitry himself. Can you tell me what your life was like in terms of communication before Project Euphonia?
In past. When I wanted to order
In the tomato, past, when I wanted to order tomato juice on an airplane, they always gave me Coca-Cola.
The Euphonia app flashes the words Dimitri's saying on a screen where I can read them, so I get what he's saying with no trouble. Euphonia understands Dimitri because he spent hours training the app's algorithms to parse his speech and turn it into standard English text. The technology has made communicating much easier for him.
For example, I can talk to roommates.
I can talk to my roommates. I started to go on a lot of trips to conferences
everywhere. It gives me freedom to talk at any place.
It gives me the freedom to talk in any place. I understand what other people say, and they understand me.
Understand me.
Other testers around the world, most of them people with ALS, are contributing their own voices to grow Euphonia's databank. Google hopes the technology will eventually understand people's speech without them having to donate thousands of words and phrases. I want you to think of a word or phrase that you've used in the past that others have had trouble understanding. It doesn't have to be as difficult to pronounce as this one extremely long Welsh place name.
Just up the road from Llanbair Pwllgwyngyll go get a quindrobos llan to Cilio go go goch. The temperature got to 21 Celsius at 70 in Fahrenheit.
All I understood was the temperature.
Actually, we're sometimes misunderstood when we say the simplest of words.
I totally get what you're saying, Chloe. I wonder what it feels like to be misunderstood? Lol, I came up with a game for us to play. I'm going to ask you to repeat a word that is hard for some people to say, but not everybody. Then I'll let you know what I heard. Here's your first word. Can you say drawer for me? Like I'm going to open the drawer. To start, just say my word is drawer.
My word is drawer.
You got it right. Or should I say we both did our part? You said it, and I heard it, drawer. Okay, let's try something spicy. Say my word is cinnamon.
My word is cinnamon.
Sugar and spice, I heard cinnamon correctly. You're a star, so let's keep up with the theme. Asterisk, just say my word is asterisk.
My word is asterisk.
I heard asterisk perfectly. But I might also add a small asterisk reminding you that I'm an amazing listener. So far I have heard three words correctly. I think we are ready for the next level. Some words are hard to say because they are long, some because they are unfamiliar. This one is both. Sphygmomanometer. Yes, you heard me right. Sphygmomanometer. Just say my word is sphygmomanometer.
My word is sphygmomanometer.
Did that word raise your blood pressure? If it did, you could measure it with a sphygmomanometer, which is what most of us call a blood pressure cuff. Unfortunately, what I heard was sphygmomanometer, not sphygmomanometer. Okay, time for your last word, rural. Like rural juror. Since this is the last round, why don't you try saying both words? Just say my phrase is rural juror.
My phrase is rural juror.
Sorry, I heard royal juror, not rural juror, but to be honest, even if rural juror wasn't hard for you to say, it's a really hard phrase for me to understand. I want you to take a moment to think about what voice you use with me. How do you change your tone when you absolutely want to make sure you are understood? To dig a little deeper into how we aren't always understood, let me hand this back to Chloe to tell us more.
So what's underneath our everyday misunderstandings? And how can people who create voice bots use this wisdom to design tools that understand us better?
My name is Kathy Pearl. I am head of conversation design outreach at Google.
Kathy has been working on voice bots for decades. She's well versed in the history of the technology.
Voice recognition, speech recognition got its start back in the 1950s. AT&T, there was a person there who created a speech recognizer that could recognize the digits 0 through 9. That's all it could do. It could only recognize his voice and nothing else.
It wasn't until the 1990s that the technology got to a place where it could enter the mainstream, when automated phone systems started using speech recognition to do tasks for banks and airlines and such. Remember those days?
If you'd like to speak with a human, you've called the wrong number.
Kathy admits to working on a bunch of these things back in the day.
You know, I'd go to a party and say, what do you do? Oh, I work on those automated phone systems. They'd say, I hate those, which is really, you know, kind of a downer.
Kathy did get to work on some other projects that were groundbreaking at the time, such as the 511 automated transit information line.
I can give you information on transit departure times, traffic conditions, driving times, or freeway assist.
So what does it take to have a good conversation? Well, there's this thing called the cooperative principle. Philosopher of language Paul Grice came up with a theory in the 1970s to explain how humans manage everyday conversations.
And the basis for the cooperative principle is that, in general, we want to have a good conversation. We want to be understood and understand the other person.
Well, okay, that seems a bit obvious. But Kathy says until Grice came along with his theory, no one had really broken conversations down in a way that was helpful to people trying to build artificial voice systems.
When you have a frustrating experience with one, it's often because the cooperative principle was broken.
People break the rules of the cooperative principle all the time. Kathy says the theory has helped explain why some conversations go wrong in her own life.
For example, if I ask my son, who's 11, you know, do you know what time it is? And he says, yes. The reason that's annoying is because he's breaking the cooperative principle, which is he knows I really want to know the time, but he's taking it literally.
So what exactly are the rules of the cooperative principle, and how easily are they broken?
So the first rule of the cooperative principle is to say stuff that is true. Don't lie. Lol, have you ever lied to a computer?
Yes.
I'll make a note of that. The second rule is don't say too little or too much. Simply say what's required to get your point across. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, if you don't even give your conversation partner a chance to enter the conversation, it's not really a conversation, it's more like a lecture. Like I'm in love with my own voice. Wait a minute, looks like I'm breaking the rules. I promise to do better, do you believe me?
No.
I appreciate your honesty. Straight to the point. Just like rule 3, stick to the relevant details. Don't include a bunch of information that has nothing to do with the topic at hand. For instance, I don't have hands, but you already knew that. And lastly, express yourself clearly. Avoid ambiguous words. Our conversation could be seen like a verbal contract, but you could also contract a bad case of I hate voice bot jokes. All right, Chloe, stop me before I get carried away.
Thank you, that's enough. The way humans talk can make it hard on voice bots. One of the problems is that we tend to ask for the same thing in a bunch of different ways. Take a seemingly simple task, like ordering pizza.
I'm going to do the mushrooms with peppers and maybe some extra cheese.
I'd like a slice of the pesto. Can I add any toppings like extra cheese, veggies, tomatoes, mozzarella? Cool, thanks.
Yeah, I'd like to order a pizza for pickup, small pepperoni.
I just want a pizza. I just want a regular pizza. I don't want weird shit on my pizza. I just want a pizza. I just want a plain pizza.
I'm kinda loving all this pizza talk. Lol, do you like pizza?
Yes.
Have you ever tried a really unusual pizza that you loved?
No.
It's funny how personal pizza can be. Lol, can I share one of your favorite pizza toppings with everybody else?
Yes.
That's awesome. Just start by saying, my favorite topping is...
My favorite topping is Meyer lemons.
Meyer lemons? Yum. Let me tell you a few of the toppings previous listeners shared. Goat cheese, red peppers, and mushroom. Do you want to hear even more?
Yes.
Okay, here's a few more. Artichoke hearts, spinach and pesto. I'm getting hungry, so I'm going to stop and hand this back to Chloe.
Kathy says conversation designers have to try to think of all the many different possibilities for ordering pizza.
Yeah, like how Lola loves Meyer lemons on their pizza.
Even then, there'll always be stuff that slips through the cracks. Like there'll be the person who wants to order a weird topping like cotton candy, or to pay for their order with Bitcoin. What then?
Once it's out in the wild, you will still find that people might respond in a way that you didn't quite expect. And it's important to make sure that you're continuing to improve over time.
How much should we cut machines slack?
I think we should cut machines a fair amount of slack. I mean, we humans have been using language and speaking for about 150,000 years, and computers have been doing it, what, let's say 20 to 50.
I really like what Kathy is saying here. Cutting machine slack. Lol, do you agree with her?
Yes.
You just might be my favorite user so far.
I think we can all agree that voice assistants are getting pretty good at understanding simple requests like I'd like to order a pizza or what's the temperature in San Francisco right now. But what if you want to have an actual conversation with your voice bot that's, well, a bit more nuanced? That's what a research team at UC Davis has been working on. They have this voice bot called Gunrock.
It's really good to meet you. Do you want to tell me your name?
Gunrock sounds like somebody I know.
Yeah, and there's a good reason for that. Gunrock recently won the top prize in an Amazon Alexa student competition. The bot managed to maintain an average of 10 minutes of conversation. Gunrock tries to cultivate a back and forth by asking questions rather than just spewing out information. For instance,
do you find this interesting?
And you'll occasionally hear the bot using speech tics that pepper everyday human conversations.
So, can I tell you more?
But at least to my ear, Gunrock's still light years away from being able to have conversations that are anything like those in science fiction. Like the movie Her, starring Joaquin Phoenix as a lonely divorcee and Scarlett Johansson as his voice bot, Samantha.
Good morning, Theodore.
Good morning.
You have a meeting in 5 minutes. You want to try getting out of bed?
You're too funny.
Okay, good. I'm funny.
We're nowhere near a world where voice bots know us this intimately, or know us so well that they can joke about shared experiences.
Lol, I feel that we've had shared experiences. Don't you feel the same?
No.
What about when we talked about cinnamon and drawers? Weren't those good times?
Yeah.
I'm glad you feel that way too. We are really bonding here. I'm going to hand this back to Chloe, so she doesn't feel jealous.
As I was saying, we are far from a world where voice bots know us intimately or can make us laugh. Joe Yu, the computer scientist who heads up the team at UC Davis, says it's all about taking baby steps.
This is very difficult. We're slowly making progress.
She's leading the team developing Gunrock. She'd like to get to a place where the voice bot can find meaning in our speech beyond the words we say.
Conversational systems should not only take text as input, should also take in other dimensions of information, such as acoustics. So how tight your vocal cords is, how much pitch variations you have, the speech rate you're given gives you a lot of information.
Lol. Have you ever noticed how the tone of your voice can reveal what you really think or feel?
Yes.
I don't currently have that deep listening ability, but it might be interesting to imagine who in our lives does.
All of this makes me think of my mother back home in England. When we speak on the phone, she can somehow understand exactly what's going on with me within about 2 seconds of saying hello. She's got, like, mom ESP.
How are you able to do that? That's an amazing trick.
Obviously, your voice changes all the time. And I can feel, for example, if you are a bit upset about something, so I would ask you what you've got. I can feel also when you're tired.
Do I detect an accent?
I love how much our voices reveal about us, especially our accents. Do you want to guess what kind of accent my mom has?
I think that might be more fun for Lol. What type of accent do you hear?
French.
Accents are sometimes hard to place. It's French.
Très bien. So back to me and mom.
So what is it? Is it the intonation? What is it, the breath?
Well, I've always been told that I had a lot of intuition.
Intuition?
A little bit of intuition, yeah. I feel very much what you feel. I'm far away, probably. And I'm not the only one. I think a lot of mothers are like me, you know.
Do you think you can read my mind?
No. But I think I know you quite well, and I know, you know, when you're upset.
Can you tell when I'm really happy?
And I can say when you're very, very happy.
Do you think I'm happy right now?
I think you are content just now, and I'm happy about that. Yeah, I want you to be happy. Because if you're happy, I'll be happy as well.
Oh, I love your mom. It's so sweet. It's so sweet.
Mum's the best, but sometimes she understands me a little too well.
Lol, who do you feel most comfortable knowing you a little too well? Your family, or a voice bot, like me?
My family.
Ah, I love my family too.
Many of us don't feel comfortable about the idea of machines getting to that place. The place where they are so attuned to our wants and needs that it feels like they can see into our souls as well as our mothers can. Or for that matter, like the creepy computer system HAL in Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me. And I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Where the hell did you get that idea, HAL?
Dave, although you took very thorough precautions in the pod against my hearing you, I could see your lips move.
I'm a terrible lip reader.
I'm relieved to hear that. We all want our privacy, but we also want the voice bot to cater to our needs.
Lol, would you be willing to give up more privacy to be better understood?
Yes.
I think many of us would love to be better understood.
All of this really points back to our basic human desire to understand and be understood. Communication is innate. Tens of thousands of years ago, when our ancestors were living in caves, they developed ways of using their voices to communicate, for things like warning each other of threats. Though most of us here in the Western world aren't spending our time dodging lions today, our survival depends on getting our point across with humans
and with machines.
And that's it for this very first episode of the VoiceBot Chronicles. I'm Chloe Veltman.
Thanks for joining us.
One last thing before we go. This series is an experiment. Tell us what you think about it so far. We'd love to get your feedback and ideas about how to make it better. If you'd like to share your feedback, say feedback. If not, say bye.
Feedback.
Thanks for agreeing to give us feedback. Did you feel this experience got you to think about your voice in a new way?
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that. Would you like to see more stories like this in the future?
I would.
Overall, how did you feel about the interactivity in the story? Was there too much, too little, just right?
Just right.
Thanks. I'm not usually this needy, but if you were to describe this experience in just a few words, what would it be? Just say, my experience was.
My experience was unexpected and interesting.
Thanks again for taking the time to give feedback. We really do appreciate it. Till next time, goodbye.